How do you explain that person has good karmic, right?
I think must,
but at the same time, the bad karmic negativity is still attacking.
Sure.
Right? But people say, what I heard, is that when you do a lot of good paramis, it won't arise the condition for the bad karmic to arise. Right? But it's still there, my brother.
It's still there. It cannot be diluted. No, depend on which thought moment. There are seven thought moments when you make a decision, means that call mental intention.
Yeah.
So there are seven javanas. So seven javanas are the determining thought moment. Means at that time you make the conscious will kind of intention, means the mental intention goes in. If it's the first javana, it's only operatable dislike. Dislike no condition, it disappears. It's not in the mind stream. Then the last javana is applicable until next life. Next line, no condition, you can avoid, also gone. But the second, the fifth, never end. Eternally follow you.
Oh. What is so bad about the second story I missed?
Eternally follow you.
Eternally. Every line.
So you cannot
go with my back.
You see, like the Buddha say, whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions behind. Then, Asaji already explained, these causes and conditions, my teacher, my master has explained. So what did the Buddha explain? He said, you are all born of your karma, heir to your karma, condition and support. You are what you are every moment, every instant because of karma. So whatever that happened in your life, they are all related to karma. That's why I use the word 99.99%, because most of these people are like a yaofan. Before they become enlightened, they got no control over their life. Karma takes its course. That's why they can predict you. Those who do psychic one, those who do jhana, they can see your whatever past and all those things. Then they know you are destined to be what and what. And all this is according to the law of karma. And it's very accurate. That's why the Buddha, when he was born, his parami, the 32 major characteristics and 84 minor characteristics that make him a Sammasambuddha, that characteristic is all there in the physical body. And it show up one. That's why I told you about the palm and all things. It show up one. But this one evolve, can change one. You don't believe, you check. Both hands also change one. So as you go through life, you meet that condition, then it will change. It will evolve accordingly to that. But if you don't have the Dhamma, Motak King, most of the time I come weeping.
But Bharatiya, let me just put this in my own perspective. The law of karma, when you continuously have wholesomeness and continue have sickness, at the same time, when you continuously have wholesomeness and truthfulness and mindfulness as well, right? Therefore, you are aware of your present moment.
Yeah.
Therefore, when how I reflect on it, right? When you have very good paramis, right? I mean, when you do this, you are basically just automatically build up good paramis for yourself. In that sense. So therefore, when the karmic negativity hits you, like you said, you cannot avoid it. Certain karma you cannot avoid.
It's not to say you cannot avoid. Most people don't have the understanding to do anything about it. That's why you are born on your karma, heir to your karma, you are what you are because. So you are karmically driven. That's why 99.99% of the people is heedless. Follow karma.
Wait, let me finish. So therefore, from there, when I contemplate, is that because you have all this wholesomeness, all this good, mostly good thoughts,
correct,
Of course, there are going to be a lot of unwholesome thoughts as well, right? But when it rises, you tend to let it seizes off, right? It comes and go, it comes and go, it comes and go. But when really those karmic negativity that you cannot avoid,
destructive you, karma, because very
of
strong
your,
one.
Because of
no,
your,
very heavy one, destructive karma. Right. So that one you cannot avoid. Well, that one, the conditioning very strong, like Mongala also cannot avoid.
Right.
Yes,
but that's why, right?
Yes, thing I gao ding.
Yes, thing I gao ding. So because they yao gong dog, so much of wholesome, so much of good talks and all that, right? Therefore, it is like you understand the Dharma better. So therefore, when this thing hits you or comes about, you tend to take
no, no
it
need,
better.
No need
in a way.
To do anything.
You take
because
it,
that understanding will free you. Karma hai gomong, where it has no more power over you, it will reverse. That's why when you have that awakening idea, karma will come. Like the Buddha Chincha incident, lay. Zhong, but he will see it. Because he understands, he accepts. That's why he told Ananda, you're not going to be able to do anything. You're not going to be able to do anything. You're not going to be able to do anything. You're not going to be able to do anything. This is a flat one. You're not going to have to confront it. It's coming, is it? You have to endure it. Condition like that, it will come. Then, the more you argue, the worse it becomes. You have to allow it to pass. Then, the condition will arise because it didn't affect you, it has got no power over you, then it will reverse. Understand? You remember the Diamond Sutta that we studied? When you cultivate until the Diamond Sutta level, until Noma and all things, you remember the one part, he said, if you at that time can be scolded and abused by somebody,
and smile.
No! That it can break your past, that type of karma. You understand? So, when you have that understanding, when you are that being, you kena from all these people, and yet you have the wisdom and understand, it will cease to be, it doesn't affect you. Means you pass. The moment you pass, it can melt away your past karmic and all those things. It will melt. It's mentioned in that Diamond Sutta. So for Sakyamuni Buddha is because after he became enlightened, there was nobody to disturb him. That's why he that one carried, and that one very likely second to fifth top moment when he abused the Pichika Buddha. So that's why it cannot go off. So a lot of arahana during their last life go to that. Because the condition is that karmic has to ripen. Otherwise he become arahant no more. So the condition when it arises, you cannot stop. Yeah, this is something very heavy. Last time you kill people, you cause so much suffering. So when there is condition, it will arise. That's why before they become like fully ordained, after they become arahant, they already knew, the Buddha also knew, he said, I would like to take ordination under the Buddha. You go and look for a rope, no, actually. Hang shui jiao, peyoring now. Two arahant, kena like that. Because of past karma. And the Buddha explained, they are already arahant. So the monk cannot understand. But if all linked to the a lot of past karmic things, one of them is the Salika Sutta. Remember Salika Sutta? You remember the seven monks that vow to cultivate together? Then whoever becomes enlightened first vow to come and protect and take care of the rest. So out of the seven that went up, only two succeeded. One become an arahant. The other one become anagami. The arahant one no more. The anagami one got psychic one. So he get food for them, sustain them for as long as they can. But finally they still die. But because that life they cultivated very seriously, very sincerely. So after they die, the five, they keep on repeating birth until birth in the heavens. Until the next Buddha comes, Sakyamuni. So this guy that is the anagami up there, in the pure abode, he was overseeing all these five. All these five, wherever they take birth, he know one. Where he got this ability. So he followed them, followed them, followed them, followed them, until the time when Sakyamuni take birth. He go and help all the five of them. So these five, according to the Salika Sutta, they were actually born as merchant, born as very funny type. They are not monk at all, that life. They are not monk at all. Then one of them, the merchant, got a lot of gold and all those things. Then shipwreck. Then he lost everything. And he couldn't go back. Then that time, we don't have world map, we don't have ships, aeroplane. So he shipwrecked into an island near India there. Then while he was there, shipwreck, your mole me at the mole. So clothing also gone. So he starts to keep all the long hair. He cannot do anything. Then he starts to become very weird. Then people saw him. How come this guy so unique? Naked, don't have anything, hair long. You laugh at him, you do everything to him, he also like that. So they thought he enlightened. They thought he arahant. Then, because the Cantonese say what? Zhong kai zhang kai.
Zhong kai zhang kai.
Means, since people believe you are arahant, he might as well pretend to be arahant. Oh, you receive a lot of gifts. A lot of all this. Until the Anagami fellow come down to him in the dream. He said, Lo Sai, we vow together to cultivate, and when the next Buddha come, you have that vow, that determination to become arahant. And this life is the best window and condition. He said, you better don't become a fake one. He said, you better wake up and walk, don't know how many, we call kilometer, they don't know call what. It's supposed to be a few days or not, to go and see the real Buddha, who is there, and you approach him. Finally decided to go, Then by the time he reached there, the Buddha was actually Pindapat. Then he determined to go and approach him. Then the disciple all stopped him. He said, cannot. He said, the Buddha will not see you. He's in the midst of Pindapat. Then the Buddha heard the commotion. Then he turned and asked the disciple, whatever. He said, this person wants to see you. He said, tell him to wait for me. I will finish by Pindapat, then I will see. That person refused. He insists on seeing everyone. Then the Buddha asked him, why? Why are you in such a hurry? He said, I was told by my friend up there. He said, then Sakyamuni checked. Then he knew what happened. He said, if I don't ask now, I will die after that. Then the Buddha knew about the condition, so he tell him, okay, you sit down. Now you listen attentively. He just tell him very simple Dhammanupassana on the six sense basis, six intelligence. He said, in the seeing, is only the seeing consciousness. In the hearing, is only the hearing consciousness. No one to see, no one to hear. Your senses are the condition for the arising of consciousness. They are not real. These are all dependent origin and condition. Just Kamlong Teng, he became arahant. Then after that, he became so calm, so peaceful, so still. Then he paid respect. He thanked the Buddha. He said, thank you. He said, I want to now go and look for a rope. Then come and take ordination, take refuge, and become your disciple. So the Buddha knew that Kamlong. That's why he said he is willing to talk to him. Because he knows he has the condition to become arahant before the past practice. So all this karmic thing, if it's very strong, what they call destructive karma, or very strong negative karma with the condition, you cannot avoid. Even Mongalana cannot avoid, the Buddha cannot avoid, all this arahant to be also cannot avoid. Because the conditioning is so strong. Last time, they ching no tai kao like that. That's why the advice of the Buddha is all evil you have to avoid. So, like what you want to explain, let's say you got good parami, it's more or less like a tree, that's not asking in the car. He said, what you practice, walk forward one step, backward two step, forward two step, back. I say, let's say, let's calm down. It's like what you say, if you have good parami, then you see your gao gao zhan. So good parami cannot help you, understand? Yeah. The moment you are hitless, you want you, So good parami means what? You have your bank account. It's like you accumulated the good bank account. Your whole lot, but you don't take it. You have no condition to use. So the lot, your condition. You know what the condition is. Then you have to create the appropriate condition so that you can receive them. So if you don't cultivate goodness, wholesomeness, and develop all these good conditions for the good karma to come, they inherit in the world. So like a parami, it's just like feng shui lo. You know what feng shui lo did? They spend their money first. They look at feng shui, man and nature must harmonize. So where got good chi, everything? So all this good chi and the good environment, good condition, will bring forth the condition for you to receive your good blessing, good karma. So it's like Ling and Hong Lei, they get good karma. They yung, no? Yung. Yung sai zho, yung mu zho, no matter what feng shui, the mu yung zho, because mu zho lei yo. Understand? So it's just like when you have this money, whenever you need that, because you have the money, you can actually request for the money to come. But the money can only come if there's condition for you to receive it. Understand? Let's say you pay the kidnap job. They cannot even give instruction to the bank to draw. And not to say receive it, there's no condition. But if you lay mo pay and they attack it, you don't do wrong thing, lay mo kena coming negativity, you don't create condition or negative karma for people to come up there, then they oil lay law la. Anytime you're that law. So you will know how to use your money, means when there is condition, this money can be used. But it must be used for something allowable. You cannot say this money I want to buy things that I cannot buy, not allowable by the nature's laws. Right? So karma is like that. So when you have that understanding, then you know why should I use this blessing, this wholesomeness first? And you use it for worldly gain. No point, understand now? I shall use it to exchange for wisdom, understanding, so that this will protect my nature for a very long time. That's why the Buddha said, if you know how to accumulate spiritual wealth, it will last you very long. Whereas materialistic wealth is just that moment, that condition. When it's gone, it's gone. But spiritual wealth will stay in your spiritual nature. And the moment you have the condition to connect, to meditate, you will inherit one. And when it comes, you become very different. Your nature becomes very different. So that's why spiritual wealth is wealth that you cannot buy with money. That's why cultivation to develop the wisdom, the understanding, the awakening is very important. So the whole of Dhamma is to explain all this to you so that you understand there is the unconditioned world and the conditioned world. The unconditioned world is not a being also. It's not you, not a person. It's a spiritual nature. And that nature is not a being. Cannot come out on. It cannot live life on. But that nature is the nature. But to connect to that nature, you need a karmically conditioned form and mind. You need a vehicle and a tool to come. And this form and mind, you must meditate to connect. Then only you can connect to this nature. Otherwise, it's dark. Because this nature, your true mind, your true nature, it's not a being, not a person. Cannot come out and leave one. Understand? It's not like this form and mind, where you call gratitude, this one can come out and share, fulfill the vow. This is conditioned by karma. And this one is subject to karma. Where the other one is unconditioned. There is nothing inside that. But even though it's the unconditioned, it can see things as they are. It can realize the truth, the understanding of the unconditioned and the conditioned. And this understanding can protect the form and mind that is connected. That's why you have to develop the mindfulness to connect to the silent mind. And the silent mind, through the direct seeing, awaken and develop the wisdom. Then with the wisdom connected to the form and mind is not deluded. That's why no more suffering. So this is the secret of existence, secret of life, secret of creation. So if you don't know how to use this, you will become muddled, you will become gullible, you will get confused. These two you cannot differentiate. You never knew you got a true nature, a true mind. And the other one, the mundane mind, condition arising mind, the heedless mind, that one is not you. That one is karma, karmically conditioned, dependent originating, not real. So all this mind state, emotion, all this having the characteristics of impermanent, leading to suffering, empty and non-self. Then if you don't have this realization and awakening, you will be deluded by it. You will be gullible, then you will attach, you will think. Then you believe the whole phenomenal world is so real. Everything is so real to you.
you believe you exist. You have a mind, you can think, you can see, you can hear, you can smell, you can taste, you can feel. Then you can own, you can possess. Everything is so real. Then you can have your work on. Your children, your spouse, your parents, your brother, your sister, your good friend, or whatever, colleague and all that. And all this is like so real to the normal putujana, the willing. But to the enlightened one, they realize all this is empty. No reality. He no you, he no me. All condition arising, dependent originating on my mind, on my mind. He no you, he no me. Then when you have this understanding, then you know how to live in the world. It's just like the lotus that spring forth from the pond, muddy pond, but it's above the mud, above the dirt, above all the defiled mundane. Then through that, the wisdom, the understanding connected to the lotus pond, it can live in the lotus pond. That's why it's not subject to any suffering. This whatever happened, it knows it's not real. It's not me. No such thing. And this is what the Dhamma is all about. And if you cannot understand this, you cannot live. You will have suffering, you will have attachment, you will believe these are all real. And the living being will believe that it's very, very real. That's why you cannot liberate, you cannot free. So it's not about my parami. All this still got mark of individual cultivating, having merit, having parami or whatever. But this is not you, this is form and mind. Form and mind got such thing, there is subject to karma. That's why you must take care of the form and mind, take care of karma. So that when you come, this karmic nature will protect you, will protect the form and mind. But this fellow is not you. This fellow is karmically conditioned out. But when you want to come, even though it's impermanent, leading to suffering and unreal, there is such thing as luck, understand? There is such thing as with that understanding connected, this form and mind can become beautiful. He can experience all of the wonders and beauty of life. Life becomes very meaningful. But you understand already, there is nothing to delude you, to cause you to grasp and cling and hold. It's just like you can use this body to live life, to experience all of the beauty you want, and yet you are not deluded by it. Understand how? Like money. Yeah? Money. It's neither good or evil. No, yata yunga yunga. Understand how? If I use it for the good of the money, then money becomes beautiful. Then life becomes meaningful. And all this, if I use it correctly, because the form and mind is subject to karma, it will become inherited. Then in future, if you choose to come, or have to come, that beautiful karma will come. That's why this life, this form and mind I went through, I know. You are like so lucky. And you call it luck, it's not luck at all. When I look back, how can a person be so lucky and so fortunate? Come to this world after World War II, then born into a family, not really wealthy or rich, but the condition is that they will take care of me, bring me up, give me the right education, create the condition for this nature. Then I don't have to like go through suffering. I never have a situation where three meal and shelter or problem. Then the family is beautiful, contented, simple. Then as I grew up, my nature became very different. And I came out of the poverty cycle, the village, then become very successful. Then the karmic nature comes, support. Then when the time comes, the spiritual nature comes. Then the guide comes, the teacher comes, the book comes, everything comes. Then this nature just understand, echo and flow. I just do what it has to do. And like I used to tell you, this form and mind that come didn't do anything. It inherited all this. It just echo and flow. The only difference is the wisdom is there to let it understand what is going on. Then it know how to go. It know how to develop the understanding. It know how to cultivate. That's the secret of life. If you don't have this understanding, you can't. You will become affected. You will become miserable. Then the four number two is very real. And very difficult to come out of the poverty cycle. Or this samsara of birth and death. And very difficult to develop this kind of right view, right understanding that can allow you to understand life and live life meaningfully. Okay?
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
We have this understanding, the world would have a long time missing. So,
No, I just ask this. Okay? Because you say, just now we're talking about the karma.
Yeah.
So, I say that, you want to be an arahant, right? So, sometimes like, you have to be suffering and all these things, right?
Yeah.
And you're not arahant, right? So, I always refer to this, they're talking about this Ajahn Chah.
Huh? Yeah.
So they say that Ajahn Chah, during his last
10 years of karma,
he was a coma, bedridden.
Yeah.
So those young monk who served him that time,
yeah.
I said,
a lot of parami. They know. They are very happy to serve him.
Yeah.
Even the senior monk is very happy to serve him.
So
they clean him out. They run.
So some of them are saying that. He's dead because he's an arahant and he's creating the condition for the younger monk to have
this,
the
this is what they will tell you la.
So,
but the actual
yeah.
understanding is very different one. Very different one. Well, Ajahn Chah's parami is like that. He come like that. That's why he set up the Western disciple. He doesn't know English or not. Do you understand?
So, during the period, is he suffering?
No!
Is he,
you cannot understand. Let me explain. He has affinity with this Kwai Lo disciple. You know, understand? Huh? These are his past colleagues, friends, and fellow cultivators. But it so happened during this sasana, they take birth in the Kwai Lo region. You know, understand? And this Kwai Lo, one by one, will come back to him one. But because his life force, his karmic force, that can allow him to have that conscious life, is determined already through karma. Yeah? The karmic DNA chosen. He will have a coma, he will have a stroke, and he will become like that. That's why you look at him, towards the later part, he's quite fat. Then he got a stroke. But when he got a stroke, he didn't die. So the condition is because there are still Western disciples that have affinity with him, hasn't arrived. You understand or not? It's not to say, he purposely allowed them to have Tangmi. No! It's like the Buddha. People used to say, he is Sakyamuni, you know. How come he disciple Mungalana after 1 week become Arahant? Sariputta, 2 weeks become Arahant. He takes 6 years. You understand or not? So you sure cannot understand, man. Samasa Buddha takes 6 years. How come the disciples so far? 1 week gaudim, 2 weeks gaudim. You cannot use your mundane thinking mind to understand. Because the causes and condition behind is such, he has to become enlightened only after 6 years. First is the vow by Sujata to offer the milk rice to a Samasa Buddha just before he becomes Sama. If people make that type of vow, and you happen to be the Samasa Buddha with the condition for him to offer, that's why there is no condition for you to become enlightened. So you have to wait. Then the other thing is, Alara and Udaka that taught him, they have very strong view that the 7 jhana, 8 jhana is the highest. They don't believe but Nibbana. They want to take birth there. So that's why immediately after the 6 years when he become enlightened, then he want to help these two fellows. He checked. One fellow just died then. Day before. The other, 1 week ago. Where will come Q1? It's because they are so insistent in their vow. They vow to take birth that. That's why they must die before he becomes enlightened. So that was the reason why he's 6 years. You understand? That to let him understand self-motivation cannot bring about enlightenment. That's why it's not the how long you sit. He endured. He went through all the ascetic practice. He even diet, didn't eat until we become so skinny. It's to understand all this. That's why he finally realized it's the middle path, not the two extreme. You cannot indulge in sensual indulgence and self-motivation. You must have a healthy body. Form and mind must harmonize to give you the right condition to cultivate. So cultivation is not about sitting. It's not about self-motivation, do all the funny type of thing. Like the teacher Alara Udaka, he went to all the jhana, he even beat them, and they invited him to become the teacher, peer at same level with them. He realized this is not what he was looking for. Well, when he decided to leave the palace, he saw the four signs.
then he realized he got a problem. Because this form and mind, if it's him, he got problem with getting old, getting sick and die. Yeah, this is the reality that Tandem told him, and he have witnessed it, it's not. Then he wants to seek a solution to old age, sickness and death. So all the jhana, all the fantastic meditation that the teacher, Alara Udaka, they all teach him, doesn't bring about that solution. But finally, he will still die. He will still get old and get sick. His problem was not resolved. Of course, they promise you rebirth up there. But now, with this form and mind, the problem is there. He cannot liberate from the reality of life and existence. He cannot have an answer to getting old, getting sick and die. If I finally got to die, and I can become so vulnerable, get sick, disease, and become so miserable, then what is life? No more meaning in that. Then, even if the father give him all the four palace of the four seasons to live the good life, but sooner or later, he has to confront all his sickness and death, and he cannot overcome. He got no answer to it. That's why he left the teacher. He went on his own. Then when he started to eat again, because he realized when he was young, he was healthy, and his mind was different. Then when he saw Sujata making the offering of the milk, he decided to eat. And the moment he started to eat, the five ascetics left him. They thought he not serious. So that was the condition, the turning point. Then he, that night, because after he recovered from his health, then he is ready, he actually asked for a sign. After he finished the milk rice, according to the Jagratha story, he made an aspiration. He said, if it's meant for me to become a Sammasambuddha as predicted by the wise man, show me a sign. So he threw that empty milk rice, not arms row, the milk rice offers to him on the bowl. He threw in the river. That bowl flowed upstream. Then he knew. He's going to make it. That's why he made the vow. Not until I become enlightened, fully enlightened, I will not arise from this sin. Even when my blood, the sinus or whatever dry up, I will not arise from this sin. So he made that determination. Then at night, middle of the night, the nature connect back. But before it connect back, the Mara come and attack. The Mara challenge him. They'll be very scared he become a Sammasambuddha. So all these evil forces, they come. Where this is nature. So, regarding your question, now you understand. Achancha, you don't think arahana means super beam. Understand? The form and mind is still the form and mind, now understand? No? Go the way of nature, like the Buddha said. This body of mind is of the nature to go old, get sick. Yeah? If the condition is not that, it will go into coma. Understand? No? So it doesn't mean arahan cannot die. Arahan, of course, no suffering. So that mind can be aware inside. But physically, he cannot move. Well, the stroke immobilizes him. So the consciousness that is inside, is trapped inside. Yes, the life force is still there and he's still aware. That's why people can still serve him, care about him. But there are Western disciples that have affinity with him, hasn't come. And because to fulfill the vow and all those things, he wants to stay on for that period until the condition fulfilled. Then sometimes all these conditions, certain of these monks are very funny on. They make such aspiration on. Like certain great beings, like the Bodhisattva or what. Sometimes those cultivators, where they have such strong faith in Kuan Yin and all those things. So they will make such vow on, to life after life, create causes and conditions to have affinity with them. Now, then whenever they arise, if there is causes and conditions, they make very strong aspiration for them to have the condition to arise and meet up with them and learn from them and cultivate. So if you have a lot of this following you, then when you arrive like funny manifestation, you have to wait. Understand now? Some of this, because the conditioning is there, so they will know. They will wait. There's just some of these beings, they live until very long. But some very young pass away, like the arahant, before of time, all people. So it's not for you to like use your thought, use your mundane mind to understand the enlightened being, how they should live and how they should act and why they are enlightened being. You cannot understand why, because you use thought. Understand?
Mm-hmm.
That's why you look at the sutta. A lot of these people believe what the sutta say. The sutta did say, you know, if you become arahant, you don't ordain become monk, within 7 days you will die. I don't understand what type of nonsense is all this. If the arahant is so fragile, you want to become arahant, 7 days, don't ordain, you die. Arahant is not like that. Arahant is the wisdom that free the mind from ignorance. Then there is no one to die, understand? No? Who die? What die? Nothing. But the unenlightened one is trying to explain all this. That's why I say, the unenlightened is trying to tell the enlightened one how they should live. And how they should act and behave. There is no such thing. No? And how the arahant realize nibbana, they also don't understand. What is nibbana? Also they don't understand. They thought nibbana is a place. That's why you go write the book, See You in Nibbana. They do a lot of funny things. Nibbana is not a place, understand? It's an awakening, a realization. The cessation of all the mind will allow you to realize nibbana. So, in reality, when you understand the true Buddha Dhamma, it's so different from what the world perceives. That's why truth is the direct opposite of what the living being perceives. So without all this understanding, you cannot understand. Then a lot of questions. Last night song also, where is song? Okay? Every time ask me, I say, you forget about the thought. I keep on asking from the thought, sure like that. He transformed already. He becomes so different. He said, how come like that? How come like that? He keep on how come like that? It's because you still have the habitual tendency of using that thought to try to understand. So I say, just treat it as part of the way. When you go through the transformation, it will happen. Then it's like that one. Then it's for you to understand. But later on when you understand, then you realize, no wonder it's like that. It has to be like that. Otherwise, it is not enlightenment. Because it's beyond thought, beyond mind, beyond the mundane mind, beyond what the conceptual mind can understand. This is unconditioned. How can the unconditioned be understood by the conditioned? Cannot. But the unconditioned can understand the conditioned world. That's why in Heart Sutta it's mentioned very clearly. In true emptiness, all the Dhamma don't exist. He no you, he no me. No one born, no one die, no one sick, no one old. No four noble truth, no one to attain, no one to realize nothing. That is in true emptiness. Means in the unconditioned, when you realize Nibbana, when you have true wisdom. So realizing true emptiness, you will come to understand these are all not real. But then, in the conditioned world, there is the Dhamma. They said the Buddha teach the Dhamma. There is Four Noble Truths. There is living being. There is form and mind. There is a mark of a self, a mark of fellow living, a mark of Dhamma, everything. The phenomenal world. All these are so real. There is the conditioned world. They said there is such thing as law of karma. But that is applicable to form and mind, not you. This is completely conditional. Your segmented life that you come. And this is not you. Every segment you are born as another being. Over the aeons and aeons above and there, these aeons and aeons are form and mind. Which one is you? None of them are you. They are all form and mind. That's why you cannot understand this. You cannot penetrate the Buddha Dhamma. You cannot realize the truth. Because you don't know who are you. What are you? You don't know what this form and mind is all about. And this teaching has been lost for very long. That's why Maitreya came and to share this zhenfa, the true Dhamma. Otherwise you think he got nothing to do. Maitreya. 208 came. And the way he came was so beautiful. And the way the condition manifests in our life is so beautiful. And with the laughter and everything. That's why we have a very great affinity with Maitreya. Mani, they are the one, the two great beings that support the sasana of Sakyamuni. These two great beings, they have great parami, and they are very closely connected to Sakyamuni is because Maitreya is the next future Buddha after Sakyamuni. Then Kuan Yin is everywhere you can find her nature. She is really very, very compassionate, full of loving kindness, full of great wisdom.
But all, not all the Theravadas see it that way. I mean, I look at it.
It's not important.
To them,
because the truth is, there is no Theravada, there is no Maya, there is no Vajrayana.
Yeah, but you think that they are spiritual, the monks and
correct.
All that, no? They
correct.
They would be guiding us.
A lot of them ask me, even Yun Chan, they will ask me, you mean they are monks, meditating full time? You mean they don't understand when I explain what is method and technique, what is vipassana and all that? They ask me this question, even my physics teacher asked me this question. And a lot of people ask me this question. He said, we only lay person, they say we don't stand a chance, but they are full time, monk, no.
They hold so many precepts.
And they are full time, is it? If they don't stand a chance, you stand a chance. That's why they write you off. But the cultivation is not about whether you are a monk or you are not a monk. It's about your past, your parami, your understanding. It's nothing to do with what you wear. Like my teacher, if what you wear make you a monk, then you put a rope on a tree, the tree also become monk. Where got such thing? It's not the rope that make you a monk. It's your cultivation, your virtue, your understanding. That's why Fo jiu shi xing, xing jiu shi Fo. That's why Shenlong say, Ni wu hui xing, jiu wu hui Fo. You understand? It's very deep. Fo jiu shi xing. You know what that means? Buddha is mind. Mind is Buddha. If you cannot understand the mind, you cannot understand the Buddha nature. So, who is Buddha? What is Buddha? Buddha is just a word. No? The word Buddha is not the real Buddha. That's why the statue that you worship, all this is not the Buddha. Understand? The Buddha said you have to respect the Rupang, Buddha Rupang, Sakalang Sada. Why? This allows you to recall to mind his great virtue and his great parami. And the Buddha is the embodiment of his perfection of virtue and wisdom. And that is what the Buddha is all about. And that one, nobody can take away or not. You burn the statue, you destroy the statue, you don't destroy your Buddha. That's why the refuge you take is with the Buddha nature, not the statue. Understand? So don't go and worry about what people do to the statue. That is not the Buddha. That's why the Buddha is mind that manifests is perfection, cultivation, until we have the full perfection. And Shenhua always say, the Buddha and the living being, there is only one thought, 相差一念之间, 佛跟众生, 相差一念之间. You only separated by a single thought. And what is that thought? What is that thought? Have to go already. The single thought of ignorance. The single thought of ignorance, avijja, makes the difference between the Buddha and the mundane living being. Zhongsheng means living being. The Buddhajana means that I'm enlightened. So the difference is 相差一念之间, because of the single thought of ignorance that started in the distant past. From there you fall. Whereas the Buddha reversed all this and realized the ignorance and see. That's how he became the Buddha. Then about the 10 Dharma rhyme also, very interesting. You want to understand all the Buddhas of the 10 Dharma rhyme, or the 佛法界, as we call it, the Buddhas. You have to cultivate the Buddha nature. You have to realize that thing, then only you can understand. If you don't realize, you cannot. Okay, it's beyond the mind, beyond the mind. Then also you look at Pama Suri's house just now at the altar, only Sakyamuni up there, then Kuan Yin, then Maitreya. This sasana is supported by Maitreya and Kuan Yin. That's why these two came. Kuan Yin came in the year 1986. Then this nature, because of the affinity, he received the message with the Triple Gem. He said, you have to move fast. Not much time left.
Then after that, very funny. All the teacher come, the guide come, the book come, everything come. This nature just look. I didn't do anything. I just echoed and flow. Then after that, my fear. And the way they come, you cannot understand. It is way beyond the mind. And you can never use your mundane mind, thinking mind, the conceptual mind to understand all this. Because it's way beyond. Then that nature is very different. Even the way it comes, the way it transmits the message, everything. When you hear, you think it's fairy tale. But the reality is, when it happens, it's even more fantastic than fairy tale. What I told you is just a small percentage of what actually happened. There is a lot more that you all cannot understand yet. Condition not there yet. That's why like I used to say, a lot of things I still cannot share because there's no condition. But sometimes you're up there want to know. Then you create the condition to some of you to ask, you all to ask that question. Then nowadays I realize all the questions that come is different. It creates all the conditions for all this understanding of the Bodhisattva way. That's why these last 2-3 years, I've been starting to share all those things. Last time, the Bodhisattva way, I got no condition to share at all. How it can be done and all those things. Through the vows, the aspiration, and making of the determination to have this right view, right after life when you come. All this I cannot share at that time, because people are not ready. Talk about Bodhisattva way, everybody panic. They say, retard my progress. I cannot become Arahant. Got this type of mentality. You see, if I take the Bodhisattva way, it will retard my progress. It will prevent me from realizing Arahant. Then they go and put who? They go and put Achaman. Achaman also renounced Bodhisattva vow. Determined to become Arahant. This time. Then everybody panic. Cannot become Arahant. You based on what? Greed. Understand? You want to become Arahant. That's why you dare not take the Bodhisattva vow. Like I asked the question, why have you got to lose by taking the Bodhisattva vow? You think you cannot become Arahant? Because the understanding is different. You will go through all this sainthood and Arahantship very fast. And this is nothing compared to the Bodhisattva way. Like the example or the analogy that I give to you, your education system. You can stop at 4-3. And now already, I got a LCE or SRP. I can find a job already. Understand or not? By all means. But let's say you understand the education system, you can go and take 4-5 matriculation, then go from 6, then you have better choice. Then you go to uni, you can have better choice. Then you can do your master, your PhD, and you can understand a lot more. So when you graduate as a graduate, compared to the Form 3 fellow, you got different. World of a difference, isn't it? But people are so gullible. They scared. If they aim to go university, they cannot pass Form 3. What's such thing? If you cannot pass Form 3, how can you go university? All these are subsoil. You will pass through. That's why through delusion, through all this, what they call gullible mind that is greedy, you will have fear. You will have anxiety. Then it will condition you to believe that. Why? Because it's the karmic from the past. Last time you also like those Theravadan monks tell all these people, hey, don't simply believe Mahayana. No such thing. You take the vow, it will block you. You go and create this type of karma. When you come, you will meet people who will tell you the same thing. And because you cause fear to people. This time you come, you will have this condition to have all this negativity coming after you. So initially, a lot of them were so fearful, worried, and they come and talk to me. I said, forget about it because it's not time yet. You cannot understand. Then later on, after the condition arise, then I spoke about the Bodhisattva vow, then there's condition to explain. Then only recently, last year, I started to explain. Then only people start to understand. That's why Huan Chi, the first to come and tell me, thank you so much. Now I have full confidence I will take the vow. He requested for Then he volunteered to transcribe the Bodhisattva talk on the three of them, all the transcript came away. Because after I explained to her, she understand, and then she realized all this is because of coming from the past, of suffering. Then because the faith now is different, very strong. Then I asked her, just like the Buddha advised the Kalama, if you take this vow, will it harm you? He will not harm you. Then. Will it harm others? He will not harm. Will it benefit you? Yes. If you have this right view, light of the light, you come, you will become beautiful. Because all these are the essential Dhamma that you need to come. So that when you arrive in the future, when there is no more Buddha Sasana, no more this window of opportunity, you still have the vow that allow you to have this right understanding and right view to cultivate. That is the purpose of the Bodhisattva vow, with the right view and all that. And this is how Bodhisattva can cultivate throughout the period, even when there is no sasana. That's why they will continue their cultivation. And this is what the Bodhisattva way is all about. That's why people who don't understand, they want to simply tell things. They tell you, Arhan, 7 days, don't become monk, you die. You believe all this, you show fearful. Then before you even confirm sainthood, first stage or what, you say, maybe I arahant already, I must become monk. But then you go and convert, you go and ordain. Because you scared you will die after 7 days. And I can guarantee you, after 2 months or so, you will die. Because arahant, if it's so fragile, who wants to become arahant? Arahant means no more delusion, no more ignorance, the 10 factor of severe. How can that being be so deluded as to fear death? And because he said, oh, I will die in 7 days, I go and become monk. And there's no such thing. Whether he wants to ordain and take refuge or not, it depends on his understanding. When the Buddha is around, it's different, because if you want to go the Bodhisattva way, you sure want to take refuge under the Buddha. Yeah, if you can take refuge under the Buddha in person. Like when you are in the Cameron Island, as I some of them, I told Bansi, you can read the Bodhisattva vow, the note, and I'll say that in front of your altar, you can do it at home. You know what she told me? She said, no, I want to do it in front of you. I said, good. Then you come. Because it's different. But when we are there, the Buddha nature, the funny nature, even this, the original Buddha, Varuchana, the nature is all there. And all the great beings' nature are there. Because this Cameron place is very familiar. In the early years of my cultivation, 86 to 89, remember I told you that 3 years. Actually until 92, but after 89, I already started to know. My nature already understood. So during that time, I like to go to that place. I like to go there for the 3 years. And every time I go there, I have a lot of understanding, my realization and awakening. Then the first cessation happened there. That's why I remember that place. That's why when Suyan was saying, we had initiated the first year, we had our retreat at Fraser's Hill, the Subang site. So after the Fraser Hill retreat, they cannot find a place. So they were suggesting here and there. Then suddenly I recall Cameron Highland. Then I said, no need to look at this. We go Cameron Highland. Then nobody know the temple. Nobody got any contact. Mm. Then luckily, Miss Lee Mahayana, he go and check around. Then somehow got the contact. Then ask around. Then told me and told Suyan, we need a referral letter from a registered organization. So that time, luckily, Brother Chim was the president. Mm. Then Suyan, deputy. So he say, talk to Brother Chim. Brother Chim said, no problem. If Brother Chim also give talk in SGBA, hey, no problem. Just give us the usage of the letter. Then we wrote in. That's how we had our first retreat there. Then when we had our first retreat there, the Tang Chia liked us, no? The acting abbot. He liked us, no? He also got a lot of mindfulness. Fa Chan. And he, I tell you what, not bad one. His mindfulness is a very good one. And he is quite a good one. And he can sing. That's why he liked us. And when we were there at the retreat, he cooked himself, no? He cooked for us, no? And he make sure all the organic food, all. That's why a lot of the recruiters tell me, why Achyar Rajah Loh that time, the food different. Then every time he go, Achyar Loh time, rain like anything, so cold and all that. We go there, 8 days, no rain. Then the last day only, the rain came. That afternoon, second day. Then the next day, clear again. Then all the condition is such, a lot of things that are supposed to happen will happen. There are a lot of kayamita for affinity there. So many kayamita actually benefited and progressed. That's why this year is going to be very different. That's why this year, you have this understanding and the faith, then you go for the Bodhisattva way and you go through the retreat, you will benefit tremendously. And your nature will move, And all this understanding is going to come out. Because the nature can sense the what they call the sign that came. And it is going to move very fast. Because the website, everything also starts to come out. And when this one moves, nothing can stop it. Last time you cannot do much because the condition not there. A lot of kayamita still not ready. But the last 2-3 years, things have changed. And when the Bodhisattva came, I was so surprised. 3 years ago, January, actually December 2014, after we went to Onisan, after the Hussein Pusat there, then come back, that song also become different. Then, during, towards the end of those years, so many kayamita from nowhere write to me and ask about Bodhisattva way. And one of them even mentioned, under my normal state of mind, I will never request for this. Because it's beyond my wildest dream. Yes, to them, they are very contented even if they can become Sotapan. They never dream of becoming Bodhisattva one or two, that path. Beyond their wildest dream. But I said, now different. Now something happened. Don't know what is it. He wanted to know this way. Then I start to reply. Then I realize the condition is that then when Pamasuri came and talked to me, I said, you go ahead and organize. That's why he organized the first Bodhisattva Puja, remember, 2nd of January 2015. That was the day everything started. Then later on, 2 more requests came. Then we had also similar over the last year, 2016. April and November.
I think Rati also that also a lot of people a lot of Buddhist people actually doesn't know that actually Buddha was actually a Bodhisattva before he became a Buddha.
He mentioned in the Jataka story, but
many
people
doesn't know.
No, he didn't elaborate on how he did it. He didn't explain. Because at that time the sasana is just for sainthood way. Listen, 2,600 years ago when he came, it's only for sainthood way, because that is the best condition to take across all these beings and prepare them to walk the longer way later on. Because if you don't teach the sainthood way, that sasana will be wasted. Because he came too early. And as a Sammasambuddha, you cannot say his timing is wrong. Understand? A lot of you all have thought, if the Buddha come now, technology, everything so advanced, we can video, we can everything he do. But the condition will be different, understand? But his vow was like that. He want to be born in the Sakya family. And all the disciples all vow to take birth when he come. All of them have their nature's vow, the vow determined and already, like the conditioning is already there. Then Dipankara predicted. So you have to arise during that time. Even though 2,600 years ago, the world was still so primitive. There is no map, nothing, no aeroplane. That's why I say some of you all may think, you are born during the Buddha's time. Maybe I enlightened, maybe I got it. I tell you, you're born during Buddha's time. You may not be so lucky, I tell you. Very, chances is very high that you are not able to meet even with the Buddha. Let's say you are not born in Northern India, you won't in the game. You know why? Columbus haven't discovered that the world is round. There is no ship, no boat, nothing, no aeroplane. No tape recorder. Everything you have to follow Ananda and him now. And you where got money? And you where got the stamina to follow him? And all these are the conditions. So it doesn't mean when you are born during that time, you will be very lucky. Of course, you have that condition, that parami, you can benefit by being close disciple. But there are still a lot of monks who are so deluded, follow the cousin, Devadatta, and break away and cause schism. And there are a lot of other religious leaders who don't like the Buddha, understand? Did so many funny things to him. And try to frame him or chinchai, all those things. And there were so many of these conflicts. Human mind is like that. So you look at it, during that time, religion was in confusion in the world, whole lot of the world. Because there's a lot of philosopher. China also a lot of philosopher, India also a lot of philosopher. But all teaching different things. Hinduism and all those things. And there is no real Dharma in the world until Sakyamuni came. So when he came during that time, although he knew as a Sammasambuddha, he has to pass down through chanting. That's why all those chanting from the Theravada tradition is very orthodox, very accurate. That's why Lakshmi is preserved. So even this life, when my nature comes, although I have my fast, but I need condition to recall all those teaching, understand? Then when I saw the Theravada Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, then when I first want to come out and share, Yun Chan approached me, then I set three conditions. Then he started with general topic about the tsunami, where it was the year 2004 after the tsunami accident. So I explained the nature's physical law, how it linked to karmic law. Then they become interested. Then after a few of these general talk, Yun Chan approached me. But still, they want more Dhamma, he said. We want to go into more Dhamma. Can you share some Dhamma? I said, can, no problem. Then he said, okay, when do we start? I said, start beginning of the year. Yeah, after 2004, end of the year, the tsunami, December time, Christmas time, near Christmas time happened. So the next year, 2005, we start. So he said, what is your Dhamma topic? I said, anything you want to know. He said, we leave it to you. Then I saw on the wall, Vipassana Society, the five ascetic with the Buddha there. I said, we start this sutta. This one is called the first turning, first sermon, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. Oh, he said, very good. He said, very good. He said, okay. Then I asked her, do you have the original sutta? He said, I will get you the chanting book. The chanting book. So he got me the chanting book. That was the first time I looked at Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. No? I had never read it before. No? The moment I read, I was so surprised the three turning was there. Then the Thai translation, the Pali was very accurate. No? The English translation was not that accurate. Then I realized, this is what I have understood. This is what my teacher has been explaining to me. We choose contemplate until very, very clear. That's why the second turning is for contemplation, reflection. Then the three types of wisdom, Sutta Maya Panya, Chitta Maya Panya, and Bhavana Maya Panya, then I realize they are all interconnected, related. So that's why the moment I read the Theravada Sutta, I know some Pali word, then I knew the translation was wrong. Then I corrected them. Then when I started sharing the three turning, everybody, you look at me. Never heard before. No? I said, it's in your Theravada Sutta. No? Nobody heard before. Then they go and check Mahayana got this, but also not much elaboration. Shenhua also got mentioned. The first time I heard in 1986 during the recorded talk, he talked about the three turning, San John Paolo. But he used the Mandarin word that was wrong. The first turning, you know what he said? 这是苦. This is suffering. You have to know it. Miss, 不但我知道, 你也应该知道. 知道 is knowing, understand? This is suffering. You got to develop. Miss, you got to know what suffering is. But the actual second turning is different now. this noble truth or dukkha is to be understood. No, it's not. 这是苦如因之, no. Means this is suffering. You have to understand, or you have to know it. Knowing it and understanding it is different. No, the two, the Mandarin word and the English word is different. No. Then I realized, no wonder the first time I heard from San Hua, I cannot get head or tail out of the first turning and the second turning. But the moment I read the Theravada Sutta, the Pali one, then the English translation, which is the English word, is quite close. This is the noble truth of dukkha. And this dukkha under the second name is to be understood. Then when I saw the word understood, I straight away understand what the meaning is now. Because suffering is to be understood. Then the inquiry, the contemplation come out. How can I understand? Why did the Buddha say this? And then I connect back how I cultivate now. Well, I also reflected on it. That's why I understood what suffering is. The first noble truth, the eight reality, I got clear. Even since the year 1974 when I received the book, the moment I read, I knew the secret of life, everything is there. Nobody can teach like that. He must be the real one. That's why all this understanding was already there. Then when I started to share and teach, according to my understanding, Yun Chan, they all were blur. They cannot follow. For four sessions, I repeated the three turning. Hardly anybody understand. Then later on, I say, anybody who can understand 10%, be very good. They don't believe me, you know, at that time. Then later on, only they come to understand, you know, what this three turning is all about. How it's connected to the three types of wisdom. That's why all this teaching has been lost, forgotten. We better go later.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
So you see, before we start, you say luckily not recorded. We hope we discuss something else. Then, after we continue, we should have recorded. But don't worry, meant to be.